Scripture this morning, giving us a taste of maybe the new Michael version. I like that. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. There's a perfect offering in everything. There's a crack in everything. And that's how the light gets in. It was the 1980 Olympics in Lake Placid. It was the Soviet Union versus Team USA hockey. They shouldn't have won. Right? Those who know the story, who are watching it, their size, their experience. But Team USA accomplished something that is still referred to as a miracle on ice. You may find yourself in one camp or the other. Some of us are miracle people. We look at life with awe and curiosity at the thought that God can make the impossible happen just like that. The doctor goes back to check the chart, and she finds that what she had first discovered is no longer there. Miracle. That time where you had a rough patch, where the car broke down and your credit card was maxed, and you had to take care of kids, and somehow you made it through all of that. Miracle. Some of us, however, aren't miracle people. Things can be explained. And even when they can't, it doesn't mean miracle or divine intervention. It means there is a knowledge we don't yet possess. Your cancer didn't just poof away. Your body did something, produced something that medical professionals have yet to learn about. You made it through that rough patch with grit and determination because you had to. You may find that you are a miracle person, or you might find you tend not to believe in such silly things, or perhaps it depends on the day or the circumstance or whether what happens happens to you. This morning's scripture, by biblical standards, is a miracle story. As we know, there is no single narrative of Jesus in the Bible. Yet many Christians today say that there's precisely this is who Jesus is, when that is really not biblically true. I know I'm getting off on a tangent. That's a sermon for another day. Each gospel is written from a different perspective, a different context, a different camera angle if we use cinematic language. And because different angles reveal different sides or shots, the narrative of Jesus differs from writer to writer and gospel to gospel. Some will elaborate on specific details while others omit or simply leave out the entire story. For instance, the miracle of Jesus' birth, which we celebrate at Christmas, is found in only two of the four Gospels. Students of Scripture realize that some of these narratives go as far as to contradict one another. However, when it comes to the feeding of the 5,000, this morning's story appears in all four Gospels, albeit in four different ways. But nonetheless, there is consensus among the Gospel writers that Jesus, with his disciples, fed 5,000 people with just five loaves and two fish. Back in seminary, one of the classes I took, I had the privilege of video chatting with this world-renowned theologian from Sri Lanka. This theologian even made the sacrifice of getting up at 3:30 in the morning to talk to us about the doctrine of salvation from his Sri Lankan context. But that's what you do when your daughter is a theology professor because of who you are. He talked about salvation, which comes from the Greek word soteros, also translated wholeness. And he explained that biblically, salvation was not about one person reaching heaven. That is more of a modern development. That originally salvation was about communal well-being, communal wholeness. essentially taking care of the needs of the people around you. With that frame, he said, take the feeding of the 5,000. Do you really believe that was a miracle? And then he said quite plainly, it was just people sharing what they had and gave it to others. So what is it? A miracle or sharing? And why does it matter? If we take verse 12 alone, we can see why sharing seems impossible in this text. It says, the day was drawing to a close, meaning the sun was starting to go down. And the disciples can tell people are getting hungry and need rest. And so out of their concern, they urge Jesus to let them go home and eat. As the sun is going down, Jesus turns to the disciples and says, you feed them, as was Michael's favorite point. You feed them. Now there are 5,000 men. And for reasons that are, sexist and patriarchal, we know that there were women and children there as well. So we have 5,000 plus people. And just for a visual understanding, Fulton Field, the high school here in Lancaster, has a max capacity of 5,612 people for a Friday night football game. So to get a picture of those disciples are to feed, imagine the stadium packed with hungry people. And it's 6:30 p.m. and all you have packed for yourself and the other 11 disciples is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus has the audacity to say, feed everyone, both on the home side and on the visitor's side. You may have the idea of running to the grocery store, make quick meals for everyone. However, Jesus, the disciples, and the crowd are not near a town, but Scripture says in a deserted place, and a place, a word that's translated other places as wilderness. So by the time you go into town and come back, it would already be too late. This does bring an image to mind, like the Israelites wandering the wilderness. Hungry in the wilderness, they begin to long for Egypt, where at least they had food and provisions. They thought that they were in the middle of nowhere, doomed to starve, until they realized that the wilderness was not barren or empty, but was occupied by the living and sustaining presence of God. God is the God who gives provisions in the wilderness, manna, quail, daily bread, just enough to be filled. Is it a miracle or is it sharing? Did Jesus blessing and breaking multiply loaves with each tear enough to satisfy the rumbling bellies of the entire stadium? Or did they sit down in groups of 50, finding that there was little food, but it was company and that community is what filled them? Or were there a handful of people who prepared to go out to the wilderness with just some small rations and at Jesus' prompting turned out their pockets, offering everything they had brought? Did some in the crowd contribute their foraging knowledge, able to scavenge for bits of food, eggs, or small game? We don't know the detail. However, we do know that people came together. We know that all were fed. We know that there were leftovers. We know they were sharing. Whether it was only Jesus or the others that joined in, people shared. And that's no small thing. Who would give up the little provisions they had for others? Who would share when they have so little? Who would drop their last coin in the basket so that God's will be done? Perhaps this story is not whether it is a miracle or sharing, but that sharing is a miracle. Whether it's God sharing God's abundance or people sharing God's abundance makes no difference. The miracle is the sharing. John Wesley once said, and I think we could agree, we are indebted to God for all that we have. While a debtor is obliged to return what they have received until the time of payment comes, they are at liberty to use their money as they please. But Wesley goes on to say this, This is not true of a steward. The steward is not at liberty to use what is put into their hands to please themselves, but as it pleases God. Wouldn't it be a miracle if tonight everyone in our community, families, unhoused, children, sat at a dinner table to eat a meal that filled them? Not just so they weren't hungry, but that they were filled with proper nutrients, filled with the joy of what it is to taste something that is good and exciting, filled with the company of others to enjoy food with. A study by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration found that approximately 30 to 40% of food is wasted every year. 133 billion pounds, $161 billion. Food is the single largest category of material placed in landfills. What causes people to live in food deserts or wildernesses just like those who follow Jesus? It's not a lack of food, it's a lack of sharing. And so sharing is no small thing. It's a miracle. It's no small thing that we collect food items and feminine hygiene products at church to be delivered to people in our community. It's no small thing that when we share resources with the Harkin House or with the Lighthouse, it's no small thing that we have put together seven buckets filled with items that can be delivered to flood victims in moments of crisis. It's no small thing that the confirmation class raised thousands of dollars for the Trevor Project, which will help an at-risk community navigate their identity in a hostile community. It's no small thing. In fact, it's a miracle. And our church is just a small part of the larger work of God, called to share, but let's not forget, especially in this society that often worships money and stuff, to share for the benefit of others is evidence that God provides in the wilderness. So today we celebrate Stewardship Sunday, for we are indebted to God for all God has given. And this morning and every morning, we have the joy of returning it to God in ways that please God, in a ministry that seeks to do good and to do justice and join in God's miraculous work of sharing for the collective well-being, the salvation of all. Amen. Amen.